Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the Valeura Holding AG presentation of results 2011, publication annual report 2011. I'm Moira, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Dr. Thomas Volmüller, CEO, and Mr. Lorenzo Terzini, CFO of Valeura Holding AG. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Hi there. This is Thomas Volmüller, and I'm sitting in the room with Lorenzo Terzini, and we both would like to say hello to you today. We are talking today about the results of 2011, and obviously, the year 2011 has been a very, very tough year for Valeura for mainly two reasons. One is the press market itself has made a big, big rebound and is declining even steeper in the last year. The second thing is that the Swiss franc in the second half of last year went to a historic low, and we were really challenged by a very weak retail market, which was especially important for our trade business in Switzerland. I will come back to those two reasons later, but what we can say is that in spite of those very two headwinds, we were able to overcome it by pursuing very precisely what we have said in November 2010 by doing our Valeura for Growth strategy, which brought us to EBIT stabilization or even a small EBIT increase if you look at it on a comparable basis. I would like to go with you through the booklet, the presentation, not chart by chart, but picking out the most important charts to give you more time to ask questions to us. Let's start with page number five, which gives you the overview of the 2011 results. If you look at the numbers, you see that our external sales, which includes the agent sales from our Tabacon business, has increased in the last year by 6%. The EBIT, if you compare it, and comparing means always taking away foreign exchange effects as well as the World Championship sticker effects. Those of you who follow us for some more time know those two these kind of normalizations. Sorry, I'm looking for the word. And so we maintained our comparable EBIT on the 2010 level. What was very important last year is that we were able to do some acquisitions which were very important for our Valeura for Growth strategy, two in the area of trade, two in the area of retail, and I will come to those two later on to you in a second. For 2015, we have adjusted our targets mainly for the reason that we have seen that the press market is eroding further, and we are thinking that being a little bit more cautious today is relevant given those changes, especially in foreign exchange, press market, and also in the classical trade business. We come to a new projection for 2015 of about 4 billion and an EBIT of 110 million-130 million. This is the overview, and I would like to go with you shortly over the next two pages. You see on page six the increase of external sales from 2.9 billion to 3.1 billion. This again includes the agency fees, the agent revenues from Tabacon, and excludes the effects from Forex and Panini. On page number seven, you see that in the same way, if you adjust our EBIT accordingly, we have more or less stable EBIT from 75 million in 2010 to 76 million in 2011. We have about 6 million negative effects from the missing World Championship, and we have 5 million negative effects from the Forex exchange. So these are the 11 million which are in between 2010 and 2011. Probably one of the important charts to understand what happened last year is page number eight. Here you see again the 75 million of adjusted 2010 and the 76 million of the adjusted 2011 EBIT. And what you also can see is that we have the two extreme headwinds, which I referred to already earlier, were amounting to 17 million last year. The biggest chunk was coming from the press market. The press market here is not only what we see in our services division, but also in our retail division. And by 6% decline overall, we see that this cost us 13 million in gross profit. The second thing which happened to us last year was, especially in the third quarter, that the trade business in Switzerland encountered very heavy discussions about too high prices because of the strong Swiss franc. We had a lot of consumer resistance. We had negative press. We had tourism, purchasing tourism outside of Switzerland, and especially what was hitting our trade business, especially was grey imports from outside Switzerland, which hit us significantly last year. Taking those 17 million, we were able to overcome those two negative headwinds, by 18 million, which are all different measures from the Valor for Growth program. Half of it more or less being acquisitions, the other half being organic measures like agency model or like purchasing, which I talk about later on. On page 9, you see the overview metrics for the company, but Lorenzo will later on comment more in detail on those. So please follow me then on page number 10, where you see the problematic of last year on one glance. Well, our retail was performing very nicely. We have a reported growth of 0.4% if you adjust it for the two effects, which is the World Championship stickers as well as Forex. We were growing by 3.8%. If you include the external sales of the agents in Germany, we even had an adjusted growth in the retail division of 9%. So good, what was good for retail was bad for services. Here you see about 15% negative development. We lost nearly 100 million in revenues last year. And if you take out the negative effects from Panini in Austria, and which was in the services department, as well as the negative euro development last year, we are still nearly 9% below last year's level comparable or adjusted. So this is what one of the major problems came from last year. Valor Trade itself looks good on the first glimpse. If you look behind it, you see that reported-wise, we were growing 3.1%. If you take out the negative exchange effects, which is mainly due to the Scandinavian countries, you are even up 11% versus last year. But you have to take into account diverse acquisitions over the time. So if you compare the business as it has been before, you see that especially in Switzerland, we were extremely negative, while the other countries were more or less stable. And I will come to those in just a second. Let me just in a short glimpse look on page 11 with you on what happened on the retail part. These, as I said, was a very good development last year. In spite of a very negative Swiss retail environment, we were able to grow all major formats in Switzerland, kiosk by 1%, press and books by 0.2%, and ABEC even by 11.5%. And this is very astonishing if you know how the Swiss retail market performed last year. Even in the German business, we were growing with press and books by 1.2%, even though neither press nor books was really a growing market. We're both declining markets, but we were able to overcome those negative trends because of the good public transport development on one hand, and obviously good job in adding new assortments there. In Luxembourg, you see the effect of the turnaround in the year 2010. We are growing nicely in the retail business in Luxembourg, again showing you that retail last year was doing a very good job and very happy with the results in retail. If you look into services and trade on page number 12, you see that in both divisions, the major concerns come from Switzerland. Yes, in the press department, we have negative developments in all countries, Austria and Luxembourg being down 4%, but Switzerland being down 7%. What you see here is the high digitalization in Switzerland because of the high spending behavior. On one hand, you have fewer price increases because of the whole price discussions in Switzerland, and obviously you also had some purchasing tourism in last year. So Switzerland was on the forefront of negative decline. But if you think this is the worst it can be, I will tell you it is even worse now. We are at minus 9% in first quarter 2012. The trade division is mainly a Swiss problem. You see here that all the other countries are slightly increasing, while in Switzerland we are down minus 12%. And as I said before, this was mainly due to the second half of the year, because we are lost revenues here due to purchasing behavior in Switzerland, but mainly also from gray imports from the retailers here in Switzerland in our trade business. So you see both service and trade were suffering from a negative Swiss climate last year. The overview on page 13, you see the profits by divisions. Just as a short glance, you see in retail with 40, if you take only the dark columns, the adjusted ones, you see that in retail we were happy with 44 million, 2.7% EBIT margin, and a rise of 4 million versus the year before on an adjusted basis. In services, we are down to 3.5% EBIT, which is 21 million, only down 3 million. I think we did a very good job here in cutting costs on all levels in order to overcome the very negative decline in the market. In trade, you see overall 2.2% EBIT margin, which is in the target range we want to have for this division, and 18 million of EBIT, which is more or less the same EBIT as last year. On the other hand, you have to understand that we gained EBIT from our acquisitions and some other jobs we did, but we lost a lot of EBIT, as I said before, 4 million in the Swiss market here. So this is it from my side as an overview, and I would like to turn over to Lorenzo, who gives you a more detailed understanding.
Thomas, many thanks. Let me go on some further details on the Valora Group 2011 financial statements and financial performance. In 2011, Valora increased its external sales by 0.5% to 2.96 billion Swiss francs. Adjusting for picture card and exchange rate effects, external sales grew actually by 6.3%. This growth is due on one side to the expansion of the retail division core business, especially here our convenience part, as well as to the acquisition Valora has made in the year, like Scanco and Tabacon. The group reported net revenues declined by 2.1%, but after adjusting for adverse exchange rates effects, which were amounting to 120 million Swiss francs, and World Cup 2010 revenues, which were amounting to 37 million Swiss francs, sales actually increased by 3.4%. Gross profit for the year 2011 amount to 876 million, which is in line more or less with last year. The improved gross profit margin, which you see, is basically due to the enhanced product range, the expansion of our franchise operation, as well as to our acquisitions. The reported operating cost increased by around 12 million Swiss francs. This increase is actually due to the expanded consolidation scope following the acquisition, as well as to the related acquisition cost. In aggregate, Valora generate at group level EBITs of 70.5 million Swiss francs. This includes 5.3 million of adverse exchange rates effects. Adjusting for that and for World Cup effects of 5.9 million Swiss francs, operating profit actually rose by 0.6%. Now let me go on page 16 on the different divisions, starting with retail. Valora Retail succeeded actually in raising both its external sales and its adjusted net revenues by significant amounts in 2011. This increase is essentially due to Convenience Switzerland, with net revenues grew by more than 11%, Retail Germany, as well as Kiosk Luxembourg, with an increase of 3.8%, and also Kiosk Switzerland, and this despite the press part. Gross profit of the division was higher by 0.8%. If we give a look to the single business unit, we see that each business unit has got an increase, with one exception, Café Spettacolo, which actually suffer from closure of unprofitable sites. The increase in reported operating costs to 529 million Swiss francs in the division retail is basically due to the division positive sales performance, which we have got, the reorganization of the kiosk business unit in Switzerland, as well as to the expansion of the division consolidated scope resulting from its acquisition. The division overall operating profit amount to 41.8 million if we adjust for exchange rate effects with 2.3 million negative effects and World Cup picture of 2 million in 2010, the operating profit of the division retail increased by more than 11%. Now let me go on the service division. This division reported net revenues of some 600 million Swiss francs. If we adjust for adverse exchange rates and effects of 18 million Swiss francs and World Cup revenues with 28 million, we see a decline of 8.6%. This decline is due to the ongoing deterioration, as Thomas Vollmuller already said, and that on the entire press market in all three countries, as well as to the departure of a low-margin customer in the Swiss wholesale business. The division works quite well in the at the level of the operating cost, with a reduction of 11.7%, and this was achieved due to and thanks to a drastic reduction in staff costs and saving in logistic costs during the year. The division adjusted operating profit amount to 21.4 million and is down by 3.1 million compared to last year. If we go to the trade division on page 18, we actually see that both reported and adjusted net revenues rose in 2010 levels. This growth is basically due to very good performance in the country Norway, Germany and Sweden. This in contrast to the Swiss business unit where net revenues fell by more than 12% partly due to parallel imports. The gross profit margin increased in the division trade, and this is due to the expansion in the cosmetic category thanks to our acquisitions. In aggregate, Valora Trade operating profit for 2011 amount to 16.3 million, and this is 1.4 million below the 2010 level. Now let me go on the net profit part. The net result from financing operation showed in the year 2011 a significant improvement compared to 2010 figures. The group actually achieved encouraging performance in its exchange rates operation, whose results were 3.1 million up on their 2010 levels, and this was thanks to an early decision to hedge foreign exposures. The group overall tax rate amount to 14.9%. It is below 2010 and below the project long-run average rate of 17%. The group net profit for 2011 was 57.4 million Swiss francs and is below 9.9% to the corresponding year 2010. Now, if we go on page 20 balance sheet, we see that the cash and cash equivalents were reduced by 21 million to 110 million Swiss francs. This reduction is mainly due to the further streamlining of the group cash pooling operation during the period 2010. The group net debt at the end of the year was 27 million higher than a year earlier, and this reflects actually the effects of the acquisition carried out during the period 2011. With a shareholders' equity amounting to 31.9% of total assets, Valora maintains this year as it was in the past, a stable level of equity cover. So now let me hand over to Thomas Vollmuller for the part Valora for Growth.
Thank you, Lorenzo. I think what you've seen by the numbers, again, we had two major headwinds last year, Trade Switzerland on the one hand and the entire press market on the other side. And you have also seen how important Valora for Growth was, the acquisitions as well as all the other measures in order to overcome those negative headwinds. Therefore, I would like to go with you through Valora for Growth and what we have done last year to improve our position in the future even further. On page number 22, you see the four key levers of Valora for Growth, which you might know: organic margin growth on one hand, organic revenue growth on the other side, acquisition-led growth at retail, and acquisition-led growth at trade. And I will go shortly with you briefly through two examples for each of those measures and levers in the last year. If you follow me to page number 23, you see for G1, which is the organic margin growth, the example of agencies and purchasing. Agencies is the measure that we are converting in the meantime 20% of our kiosks in Switzerland to be on an agent level, meaning fostering entrepreneurship, giving them an own entrepreneurial spirit, and by this measure increase revenues by 3 to 5% on one hand and lowering costs by at least 5%, which we managed last year. And we are going now to increase this agency framework. This year we want to have at least 300 agents by the end of this year, or agencies by the end of this year, and want to continue it over the next years, because we see that this is a very important measure to improve our kiosk profitability. Second lever, purchasing, whatever retailing needs to do. Yet on the other side, we made a major step forward last year in order to systemize and to be more professional in this area. And if you would ask some of our suppliers, they will probably tell you. If you go with me to page number 24, on the top line growth, organically, there's two examples. One is Kiosk 3.0, which the new kiosk generation, which we are currently testing here in Switzerland, and which will be prolonged to new tests in Switzerland, and which want to roll out by the end of the year in at least 100 kiosks. We have this at a test site in Terville. What we have done, we have reduced the space for press by half. We reduced the number of press titles by 20 to 30%. On the other side, we doubled the coolers, we doubled the food assortment, and we increased food sales by more than 15%. The second top-line growth measure which I want to show to you is what we call NILO, Night Logistics, which is logistics in Switzerland. We have improved the logistics over the last years. Now we are in the position to bring it to the market. We have done a significant job last year to acquire new customers who want to use our overnight logistics capabilities. Because we have to be with our press everywhere in the country by 6 o'clock in the morning, we are able to bring new customers on board, which should increase our annual profits in this area by 2 million per year. Following me to page number 25, you see G3, the acquisition-led growth at retail. Again, two measures last year. Let's start with the right one, Schmelzer-Bettenhausen, a very important step for us forward to enter the Austrian market, a small chain with 12 stores, but at all major stations in Austria. We will open in Salzburg our first P&B store, as we know it, in April. We will start at the new Vienna airport in the summer, and we just signed the contract for the new Vienna Central Station, which opens in 2014-15, in order to be on the spot in Austria with the P&B system in Austria, and obviously to be in a good position to talk to Austrian railways in order to improve our POS network. Second example from this area, as you probably have heard, we acquired in January the biggest German kiosk chain with 1,300 kiosks. Among those 1,300 kiosks, there are also 150 more or less convenience stores called DB service stores, which we jointly operate with Deutsche Bahn. This acquisition will help us to consolidate this very fragmented German kiosk market, and we hope for very good results as we have seen already with our Tabacón acquisition, which we have done in 2010. All the details you find in the presentation we have done in January, but just to tell you where we stand, please follow me to page 26. We got the regulatory approval from by late February 2012. We are now scheduling the closing for April 2, so we can start transformation from April on, and the full effect, EBIT effect, will come in 2013 for this year, because it's A, only 3 quarters. Secondly, we will have restructuring costs this year. We will, integration costs, we will probably see only a small earnings share for this year. Our target remains the same as we have said in January. We want to increase the EBITDA level from 12 million to above 20 million by merging the structures of those two organizations, by introducing the Tabacón franchise model, implementing the CTN Plus concept, as we call it, which is mainly bringing in food products, by increasing our promotions and marketing activities. We have a lot of already calls from potential customers who want to participate in this new German-wide kiosk network, and also obviously expand this network by bringing in new POS and probably streamlining by throwing some others out. So from April on, we will be able to pursue this this integration, and we are very happy that we have done this acquisition. Shortly on page 27, the two acquisitions we have done in the trade department. On one hand, Scandinavian Cosmetics, which was more or less done exactly like our blueprint EMH in 2010. The Swedish and the Norwegian organization both are 70, 75 million in revenues, both above 4% EBIT margins, nicely growing, about a quarter market share, a quarter of the market, which belongs to those two companies, both in Norway and Sweden, and we are obviously integrating those two organizations now more and more. Another very small but very nice acquisition we have done last year was what is called Salty Snacks, a small company which is focusing on savory baked goods, and we're also very happy with this small acquisition, which shows exactly where this G4 niche distributors acquisition strategy should go to. So eight examples which I have led you through for Valora for Growth. What does this mean for the future? Obviously, after the results of 2011, we have made some adjustments, knowing the press market is going down, the forex market is different, and we have also encountered some issues in the classical trade market. If you follow me to page number 28, what you see is that on the organic growth side, we believe that a margin growth side, we believe the 0.2%, we have enough ideas, we see that we can achieve them, so every year we want to improve our margin by 0.2%. What we see on the other side, different from what we've seen in November 2010, is our organic revenue growth. At that time, we said we want to grow by 2%. It's estimating now that the press market will go down 5 to 10%. We only see maximum 0% growth or no growth organically. If you look at retail services, we have done the first part of the job we have already done by acquiring Convenience Concept and Tabacón. So we expand our Kiosk Germany business as we already planned for 2015, and we have reached our targets there. We are also on good ways to acquire a new travel retail format. So we are strong believe that we will acquire further in the retail department, and we will reach the targets we have given there by adding 150 to 200 million per year in the retail department, and we are very sure to reach that. And the trade department is a little bit split. And then in the niche distributor business, like EMH, like Skanko, like Salty Snacks, we feel very confident that we reach our 200 million acquisition target, which we have given ourselves, because we're only missing another quarter of this 200 million by the end of 2015. On the other side, because of the developments in Switzerland last year, but also in the other areas, plus because we see that the purchasing prices of the trade businesses in Eastern Europe are very high, we reduce our targets in this area from 400 million to something around 100 million. You see more details on the next two pages, but if you follow me to page number 31, you see what this would be affecting. We are coming from this last year 3 billion of which 2.2 billion are retail and services. We originally planned in November 2010 to increase to 4.8 billion. Sorry. And retail servicing accounting for 3.4 billion. By reducing organic growth by 300 million, the classical trade business growth inorganically by another 300 million, you come down to 4.2 billion. And if you take that into account, that at the time we made this projection in November 2010, we were at a Swiss franc euro ratio of 1.35, and we are now at 1.2, you would have to deduct another 300 million. So we're coming to nearly 4 billion, of which 3 billion are retail services, and 1 billion, about 1 billion is trade. This is what we see currently. If you continue to do so, as we have done in the last years, and as we believe is right to do for the company, because we are, by this way, encountering all the headwinds we are seeing, and we see by this an EBIT in the area of 110 to 130 billion by 2015. All right, what this means for 2012, on page number 33, I'd show you what are the headwinds this year and what are the backwinds this year. Let me start at the backwinds. I think, yes, we have another Euro Championship this year, so this will help us, hopefully, by 3 to 4 billion, million. This is a Euro Championship where Austria and Switzerland do not participate. It's smaller than the World Championship. We had a 6 million income from the World Championship 2 years ago, so we believe 3 to 4 million could be a reasonable amount we see here. Yes, we will have ramp-up effects from Nilo, which is our logistics business in Switzerland, from the kiosk 3.0, and this will help us also increase. And yes, we will see some ramp-up effects from convenience concepts, and we might do some other acquisitions also this year. So this is the good side. On the negative side, we see that the press market is declining continuously. It is even worse than it was in the second half now. We see a first quarter with -8%, -9% in Switzerland. We see that the Swiss retail market is still under pressure. You had seen probably Migo results today, which were brought out. Nielsen is saying that the first 8 weeks of the year is -2% to -3%. And we also have still some very, even though smaller, negative effects from the Swiss franc euro relationship. All in all, we are certain we will surmount and surpass last year's result. But again, it will require a lot of strength in Valor for growth to overcome the negative press market, the negative Swiss retail market, and even still the negative Forex market. So this is it from our side, and I would turn over to you to ask questions to us.
The first question is from Mr. Jean-François Maimandi from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. Going back to the press market, when we look, you said organic growth of 0%, let's say, I have two sub-questions on that one. Number one, is it possible for you to take some fixed costs out? And on the second one, you say organic, given the fact that it will decline, it seems, is it an area of investment for you in your strategy of Valor for growth? Or is it something where you will just intend to get some cash out of that and to finance acquisitions elsewhere in the business?
Okay. Thank you. It's a good question. I think what we have yet taken out fixed costs, certainly. We last year have done a very good job in reducing headcount in Switzerland. We have concentrated our headquarters in Austria, we have concentrated our call center in Bulgaria, and we have brought our remission to Slovakia. So we have done a lot of things last year in order to overcome those negative trends by cost reductions. And if you see that at the end, if you have a negative comparable revenue decrease by 9% in this business and services, and you're only down 3 million in EBIT and still reach a 3.5% EBIT margin, I think we have done a pretty good job in reducing costs. Yes, there is further things to come. We are doing having some more ideas where we can reduce costs, but obviously there is a certain limit to this. So in our opinion, reducing costs on one hand has to come with new services on the other side. That's why the division is called services. And Nilo is one of the examples. I think logistics will help, and we see that now by doing services to other companies like opticians, like mail order companies, in order to overcome those negative declines. So yes, we can reduce some more fixed costs, but we need additional services in order to keep the profit level at least at a reasonable level. Your question on what is the strategy for services, even if you go back to November 2010 to services, you see that there is no real acquisition plan in the services department, so there is no investment right now allocated to this. And yes, you're right. So in a way, we are using the funds coming from the service department and want to finance with it G3, G4, which is investing in the retail and trade business.
And but not just because you mentioned organic, so that's why I was wanting to know if it's...
No, it's inorganic. We will not do any kind of acquisitions in the service department, but we use the funds inorganically for trade and retail.
Okay, I have a second one question, if I may, there on, let's say, you paid an extremely high dividend this year, I would, in terms of payout ratio. Would you revert to a more normal payout ratio in the future, or what can we expect from your side there in the future, just as a homework question, more for our models?
Okay, I think for yes, you're right. We have a payout ratio about 60% with 11.50, which is quite high. On the other side, let's wait for what the results are for this year, and then we will make a decision then. So there's no plans to reduce the dividend so far.
As in on an absolute basis?
On an absolute basis, currently, we historically had a payout ratio of 50%. We are now this year a little bit higher. And we said we want to surpass last year's level. If you do significantly, then obviously we would like to keep the dividend yield, I guess, but on the payout ratio, but there's no plans yet to reduce the dividend.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Andreas Schaffner from AZ Median. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Schaffner, your line is open.
Yes, hello. I have one question referring to the question before, whether headcount is really going to be reduced this year. Is there going to be any number which you can tell us, especially in Muttenz, where the whole center is?
We are currently always looking for possibilities to improve our efficiency. We have taken out in the last year 150 headcount, and we are obviously looking where we can do further efficiency improvements.
The next question is from Mr. Caroline Price from Caprice Management. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hello. I have a few questions. First of all, could you just describe in a little bit more detail or more specifically where the parallel imports are taking place, what types of products it's affecting? And secondly, could you talk a bit about the increase in inventory at year-end, and in tandem there was an increase in accounts payable? If this is just timing type of issue or what that relates to?
Sorry, what was
then,
that?
Increase inventory.
Okay, sorry.
Did you catch it?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't get it fully, but Lorenzo did, sorry.
Okay, then if you could talk about the customer in the services business that you said some low margin business left. Could you talk about why they canceled their contract or why they decided to stop doing business with Valora? And then on acquisitions, I'm just a bit concerned about the management capacity. You've obviously made quite a few acquisitions, especially the big one. Earlier this year. So can you just talk about what your capacity is in terms of management time to take on additional ones?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. I will pass the second question on inventory and accounts payable to Lorenzo later on, so let me take the questions number 3, 1, 3, and 4. Parallel imports, well, we were probably hit in most of our goods assortment. We have more than 10 different principals, and we are nearly hit in all different principals by gray imports. That was retailers in Europe, which at that time were providing Swiss retailers with product. This was in the time when there was a big hiccup and big mess between our principals and the retailers in Switzerland about margins and how they can reduce prices. Those kind of discussions have gone down, but you can say more or less all of the products we are delivering in Switzerland have been accounted for and had been gray imported. It was obviously from Ferrero because this is in the newspaper, but we also had some other product in our group which were also affected. Does this answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Customer service business, I think you referred to the wholesale business. You have to understand that the reason why there is a 9% decrease in the services department, which is bigger than the press decline of 6%, is because we lost in our wholesale business, which is also in the services department, one client. The client is Migrolino. Migrolino has built up its own a logistics platform, and as you're probably aware of, they are a big convenience company itself, so more or less we are competitive with them. That was the reason. But this was, profit-wise, this didn't really affect us very much because it was the wholesale business is not very profitable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Concerning,
there's the last question on the acquisition management capacity. So far, we feel relatively comfortable. We are a decentralized organization. We have local teams in most countries. So we have EMH and Skanko done from Copenhagen, where we have our Scandinavian team. We have the German retail business done by the very good German management team. We are doing the German trade business, which is an own organization itself. So what we're doing is we're allocating staff, if we do need to those organizations. But this is, I think, one of the advantages of Valora. We are not very central in this respect. We are relatively decentral.
Thank you.
Good. Concerning your question on net working capital, we can say that basically the net working capital went down. We were last year with 125 million. This year with 117 million. This is 6% down to last year. The question on inventory, why they increase? They increased more or less by 22 million. And from this 22 million increase, the major part, more than 18 million Swiss francs, was due to acquisition, especially in the acquisition in Skanko. And from the operating side, we have got a small increase in the inventory. These are 3-4 million Swiss francs, and these were due actually to the preparation of our Eastern activities in the trade division.
Okay, thank you. Can I just follow up with the question about Spettacolo? How many sites do you still have, and how many were closed?
I think we have about 40 stores. To give you the very exact numbers, I would refer to Lorenzo, who is just right now. It should be in the book, in the report, but it's about 40.
Yes.
And I think we closed 2 net, which is, I mean, it's 5% on a small basis, but that's the reason we got there.
Let me just
Lorenzo's
the figures in one moment.
We have 35 now, and we had 40. So this is year-end figures. So we came down from 40 to 35. So it's at the end of the year, the year is 5, but you can say that on average for the last years, it's less than 5.
Okay. Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Caroline Price from Capris Management. Please go ahead, madam.
Okay, I thought let someone else give a try, but I was wondering if you could possibly give for the net revenues by division, what was the organic growth, so stripping out acquisitions and FX?
If you take the retail numbers on page number I think you see it on page number 10, relatively clear. If you have the adjusted 3.8%, you can say that the external the whole acquisition in retail was Tabacón in 2010. So the acquisition is the difference between the 3.8 and the 9.0. And in service, we didn't do any acquisition, so it is all organic, negative decline. And in Valora Trade, you see on the page number 12, where we have done it without acquisition. Switzerland has no acquisition, so that's minus 12. And you have one more or less 1% increase in the other countries. This is without acquisitions. So there you have all the numbers.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Vollmöller.
Well, thanks a lot to all of you who listened to this conference, and I hope you keep your trust in Valora for Growth, and I wish you a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing the Chorus Call facility, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.